Hi, Fern.
Hi, Christine. How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Good, good.
Good. I was just trying to check in a little bit early, so it sounds like you and I are the only folks here. Will we hear other people on the line, or how will that work?
No, the line will be muted, and I will open it up at the end for questions.
Okay, sounds good. So after 12:30 your time, will you open it up for questions or sort of?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. You're calling from Chicago?
Yes, I am. And you're in the Bay Area somewhere?
Yes, yes.
Where are you?
I'm in Mountain View. That's in between San Francisco and San Jose.
Sure, sure. That's a lovely part of the world.
Yes. Yeah, it's a beautiful day today, too.
Is it?
Yeah,
have you had
really.
A good summer?
Yes, it's been nice.
So just so I know, do you have a sense of how many participants will be joining us?
About 10.
Okay. And in terms of the overall knowledge level of the audience, do you have any sense of, you know, where they are in terms of their investing knowledge and background?
Probably moderate.
Okay.
You know, I wouldn't say most of the subscribers are not quite beginners, but not super advanced.
Okay. Are they clients of yours?
They're subscribers to my blogs.
I
run Wholehearted Way and also 401k Maximum.
Okay.
So one specializes in retirement planning issues, and the first Wholehearted Way is more around personal finance.
So do you consult on 401k plans as well?
No, I'm basically a wealth coach
for
individuals and executives.
Right.
And I walk them through the financial planning process. So we have like an online 7-step process that we work people through.
Yeah, I'm looking at it right now, actually. So it kind of syncs up with some of the CFP program materials. Uh-huh.
Right. Yep, going through the process.
I went through the CFP program, but I'm not a CFP because I would have to leave my job at Morningstar to, because you need that hands-on client management.
That's right.
And unfortunately, my work here doesn't count.
Right, right.
I've tried. Tried to see if they would count it because it seems so similar, but
yes. Well, we're at the top of the hour, so I guess we'll get started.
Okay.
I see people are starting to come on the call. So, welcome to the Build Wealth 30 Minutes at a Time call. I'm Fern Alex LaRocca. I'm a certified financial planner, a wealth coach, and I have two blogs, Wholehearted Way and the 401k Maximum. And our guest expert today is Christine Benz. I'm going to be interviewing Christine. She is Morningstar's Director of Personal Finance and senior columnist for Morningstar.com. She's also the author of Morningstar's 30-Minute Money Solutions, a step-by-step guide to managing your finances, which I found was a really good book. And I'm going to tell everybody how they can get the book at the end of the call. So welcome, Christine. I'm glad you could make it on the call.
Thanks so much, Fern. It's fun to be here and fun to be exploring a new format. I've not done one of these chats before, so it's it's a good experience for me.
Oh, it's fun. Just wait till we do video next year.
I'm being dragged kicking and screaming into the social networking era, but I'm kind of getting the hang of it.
Great. Well, I'm so happy that you're here. I'm a big Morningstar fan, and I think you guys do great work over there in the personal finance column.
Well, thank you. We've got a lot of great information on the site, and a lot of it is free. So for people who are just venturing on for the first time or are not sure what we have, just poke around because there is a lot of great information.
There is. There's some overwhelming amount of
too much, maybe.
But it's great. It's good stuff. Anyway, let's talk about this book. Now, in the book, you talked about breaking down the financial planning process into manageable steps, and I love that part. Could you tell us more about that?
Well, yeah, you know, my idea for the book, Fern, was you think about any big task that you have. So maybe you're getting ready to move, for example, and you just think, oh, where do I even start? And I think a lot of people view financial planning in that same way. They have this whole catalog of tasks that they need to accomplish.
Right.
So my idea was to take it step by step, because if you do look at a whole task all at once in its entirety, it can seem overwhelming and daunting. But if you do break it down, you kind of look at it and say, you know what, I can do this. I can plan for my kids' college. I can figure out how to do my 401k. I can figure out how to save for short-term goals. But I just need to take this one task at a time rather than sort of saying, ah, my finances are a mess. I have no idea where to start. So that's how the book is organized. There are 36 chapters, each of which is a separate financial planning task.
That's great. That's great. I love that, because so many people are pressed for time and it can be overwhelming. But when it's broken down and they start to see little successes at a time, it motivates them to go on to the next one and the next one and the next one.
Right. And I think for a lot of people, it might seem like kind of a black hole. If it's something that they don't spend a lot of time with, if they haven't looked at it, they might think, oh, I'm hopelessly behind in, say, retirement saving. I might as well not bother. But
right.
I think if you do get in there and kind of look at where you're starting out create a roadmap, you'll find that it's something that you can do and it does not have to be that difficult. In fact, I'm firmly in favor of simple solutions. I do believe that the financial services industry really sells this message that it has to be hard, it has to be complicated, you have to monkey around with complicated investments, and you just don't. I think it can be extraordinarily simple. And so the specific investment ideas that I share in the book are all things that are pretty streamlined. You can build a diversified portfolio with just a handful of holdings. It doesn't have to be an ultra complicated portfolio at all.
Yes, and I like that message too of just not dwelling on the past or getting bogged down in failure, and just starting where you are at. Just start where you are and start to move forward from there.
Right. And a lot of the first chapters in the book really focus on giving yourself that temperature check. So, you know, akin to going to the doctor for a physical, although I think it's a little more pleasant than that. But the idea is that you take a look at where you're starting out, take a look at what your goals are, quantify your goals, quantify how much you'll need to save for various goals. And I think if you look at where you're starting out, sort of take stock of all of those factors, you'll find that you may not be as bad off as you feel that you are. So I completely agree that dwelling in the past is never productive, no matter what you're doing in your life.
Mm-hmm.
And that certainly pertains to creating a financial plan as well.
Yeah, I think there's been a lot of emphasis on going into money personality and how your parents viewed money, and sometimes that can weigh people down pretty heavily about,
mm-hmm.
you know, dwelling on that. And I think, like you said, a lot of people will discover that they're not as bad off as they think they are.
Right. And that feeling better about where they are financially is something that they can easily accomplish and get on the road to a better financial picture just in the space of a couple of months.
Right, right. It doesn't take much. Okay. And then you also talk about a hands-off portfolio in the book. And I know that's so hard for a lot of people, and a lot of people have panicked during that last market crash and pulled out of the market, and now they're regretting it. And, you know, it's what can you say to address that for people to, like, stick with it?
Yeah, I firmly believe a hands-off portfolio is the way to go for most people because, let's face it, most people just aren't into this stuff. They have other things that they'd rather do with their time. And certainly we do have a contingent of users who are very avid investment junkie folks who like to make sure that they have, say, the best large cap value fund out there or the best bond fund. For a lot of other people, the real goal is just creating something that they can live with through a variety of market environments. So I do like indexing as a lot as a strategy. Yes, you may be able to pick actively managed funds that will outperform index funds, but index funds really do give you that set it and forget it appeal, so you know that you'll at least match the market's return minus your expenses. You're not going to see big divergences. If the S&P 500 is up X amount in a given year, you won't find that you've missed that by 2 percentage points. You'll be pretty much tracking it. So I do like indexing as a strategy for hands-off investors. Or you could use a combination of index mutual funds with some actively managed funds around the margins. But I think that that's one way to go if you want to be very hands-off. If you want to be entirely hands-off, you might look at this growing category of all-in-one funds. And I don't know how you feel about them, Fern, but these are the set-it-and-forget-it target date funds. Some of them are good. Some of them are not so good. But I do like that these funds handle two of the most difficult aspects of investment planning for people. So they, A, help them set an asset allocation that is sensible based on where they are in their lives. And then they help make that asset mix more conservative as the person gets close to needing their money. So these funds are the ultimate in low maintenance and hands-off.
Right. And I kind of like some of those for the children's accounts, for the college education accounts.
Yes. Yeah, I think that that can make a lot of sense. And most of the 529 plans, which give you a tax advantaged way to save for college, most of them do offer that age-based option because by the time your child gets close to enrolling in college, most of those investments should be in very conservative vehicles.
Right.
So you should be mainly in cash and bonds at that point. But unfortunately, the 2008 experience showed us that a lot of college savers hadn't gotten the memo. So many of them were disproportionately invested in equities at that point. So some of the age-based options in the 529 plans help you get into that age-appropriate mix.
Definitely. And I'm huge on indexing and ETFs. And I've helped a lot of clients gradually over time convert some of their active portfolios into passive portfolios that they can manage themselves. But it's a slow process because of some of the tax taxation involved in that.
Right. But the tax benefits are great of ETFs and index funds, and also they're inherently very low cost. And as we find in our work here at Morningstar, costs are such an important factor, and the more you can keep your costs down, the better off you'll be.
And with all the new disclosure around the mutual fund fees and what advisors are making and brokers, I think more and more people are going to be attracted to the indexing strategy.
I hope so. I've been interested in the growth in ETFs, not just because I think that they can be very good vehicles, but I do also think that they have helped spur a greater attention to costs and to what you're actually paying in total investment-related expenses. I'm often surprised at how little investors care about that. They tend not to pay a lot of attention to their investment costs. And my personal view is that it's because they never have to write a check
for those
services. It's
this
invisible hand. And, of course, that's a beautiful business model if you're selling financial products, but it's not such a beautiful business model if you're a consumer because the net result is that you might not have a great sense of what you're actually paying.
Right. And hopefully that will be more transparent in the future.
I hope so, too.
Yeah, so we'll see what happens with that. And then a lot of people not only got burned on their portfolios, but they also got burned on their 401ks. And I know that's an area where it's really difficult to figure out the fees and what you're paying in some of those 401k plans.
Well, it is, and especially if you're with a smaller employer. So if you work for a large firm, if you work for GE or IBM or something like that,
mm-hmm.
chances are your employer is able to swing a pretty good deal with any investment provider it's
right.
dealing with. So you're probably not paying any additional layers of expenses to administer the plan. And investing in that plan is just as inexpensive as investing in a taxable account. But for people who work for smaller firms, oftentimes they do have an additional layer of expenses that's part of the 401k plan. And those costs can really add up, and they are in addition to whatever you're paying for the individual investment option. So you might have an individual fund cost of 1.25% per year, and then possibly an additional administrative costs that brings your all-in cost up over 2%.
Right.
And that can make investing in the 401k not a no-brainer. It can really make it a better idea to consider looking to, say, a Roth IRA before putting money in that costly 401k plan.
Right.
So you need to do your homework on your 401k plan. Generally speaking, I think a 401k makes it really easy to invest. You're putting money in at regular intervals, which is a great way to invest. It helps average out your overall purchase prices. But you do need to do a little bit of homework before saying, I'm going to plow all my retirement money into this plan, because the plan may be costly and you may be able to do better on your own.
That's true. That's so true. And then it's confusing, too, because a lot of the funds in the plans have the same name as some of the funds outside of the plan, and people think it's the same cost and the same exact portfolio and everything, when it's really not.
Right. And so you need to do your homework on that, too, on the individual investment options. Separately managed accounts, non-mutual funds are increasingly prominent in 401k plans. That can be good. Some of them are inexpensive and are run by good investment managers. But you need to check out exactly, well, who's running this fund? What are they charging me for it? And the transparency just isn't there as
right.
it is for mutual funds. So you do
right.
need to do a little bit of extra homework.
Definitely. Yeah, and I noticed there are some services that are cropping up that are starting to disclose more and more of the transparent fees in some 401k plans. So that's pretty exciting to see that happen, because I know people get very frustrated trying to get information on the fee structure of the funds and the 401k plans themselves.
And it can sometimes be hard to get your hands on that. What you need is a document called a summary plan description,
mm-hmm.
and this is a document that will show you what you're paying in terms of additional administrative costs, and it'll also show you any additional features that come along with your plan. So can you take loans from it, for example? The document will lay out all of that information.
Mm-hmm. And then also, a lot of people aren't aware that they usually have a brokerage account that they can open within their 401k. So they'll have, like, all the options that are available to them, and one of those options may be the brokerage window, which would open up a whole different menu of choices that are available to them.
That's a great point, Fern. And those brokerage windows are increasingly appearing in plans, and they give you a little bit of an escape hatch. So if you do your homework and see, oh, this is not such a good plan, I don't like the investment choices or whatever else you might find wrong, you may be able to use the brokerage window and buy individual stocks or ETFs or other investment options that aren't available to you on your plan's preset menu of choices. So it's worth investigating. One comment I would make, though, is that you typically can't sign up for that automatic investment that you get with your standard 401k menu of choices. So you'd have to remember, okay, every two weeks I need to make an additional contribution through the brokerage window. So you just want to make sure that you can automate those investments. And if you can't, you want to make sure to set a little reminder to yourself to make additional contributions through the brokerage window.
Good point on that. Yes. And then a lot of, and I noticed that you have on Morningstar, you have some great tools and calculators available for people to use.
We do.
Right.
Probably our most popular tool is called our X-ray tool.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the instant X-ray tool is a free tool for anyone who comes to Morningstar.com. And essentially what you do is you put each of your holding names into the tool. So you put any stock and fund names into the tool. And then it'll show you your overall asset allocation. So it'll show you your stock, bond, cash, international stock mix based on what's actually in your investments. So the cool thing about Instant X-ray is that it doesn't take a stock fund and put it all in the stock bucket necessarily. So a lot of stock funds have cash in their portfolios. X-ray actually drills into the fund, looks at what's in it, and apportions the assets accordingly. So it's a valuable tool from the standpoint of seeing what you truly own versus what your investments are saying they own.
Wow, that's great.
And then that tool is also a good way if you want to track your portfolio on an ongoing basis. Once you've entered them in X-ray, you just hit a button that says Save Instant X-ray as a Portfolio, and then you can look back and see how your investments are growing or not growing, hopefully growing. You can track it on an ongoing basis and do periodic X-rays of it after that.
That sounds great. I have to look into that. So now this tool, you can plug in your 401k portfolio as well as investments outside of the 401k?
Yes, though they would need to be mutual funds, ETFs, or individual stocks. So we wouldn't have information on separately managed accounts or any sort of custom accounts that are being run just for your 401k. So
right.
They'd need to be
right.
Publicly traded securities.
Oh, that's good. That's good.
But it is a good way to see what your asset allocation is, and also if you wanted to do some research on individual funds or ETFs or stocks, the site has a lot of great information, much of it free.
Yeah, that's great. One of the common mistakes I see people do is they asset allocate each portfolio separately.
Yes.
So they'll asset allocate the 401k one way, the outside investments one way, an IRA one way, you know, maybe a pension another way, and
right.
They really have no idea how all of them look together.
Right, and that's the beauty of X-ray is that you can aggregate all the accounts and see the overall portfolio's asset allocation. So
mm-hmm.
I think you're right. That is a common pitfall, and it doesn't really have to happen that way. So, for example,
mm-hmm.
if you have access to some great stock funds through your 401k and your spouse maybe has good fixed income options, you don't each have to run your own well-diversified portfolio that mirrors your target asset allocation. What matters is that your total portfolio mirrors your target asset allocation.
Mhm. Mhm. And then what I like to do is coordinate that with some sort of capital needs analysis tool so that people aren't constantly looking for major profits all the time in the portfolio.
Mm-hmm.
They know they need a certain return to meet their goal, and that's the average over time, so there's going to be ups and downs. But the game plan is to look for the long-term strategy of hitting a certain target.
Right, right. And then to make sure that you have that cash on hand to meet near-term income needs, I think that that can give you a lot of peace of mind in letting your long-term assets run and fluctuate as they will if you know that your near-term needs are there and are in relatively safe investments.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. And I know a lot of advisors now are, as people get closer and closer to not working or working part-time or, I don't know, doing something else in their life, having like maybe 2 years of cash.
Right, which is a lot. There's a big opportunity cost to having that much cash right now, as
That's
you know,
right.
with yields so low. So something
right.
you do really have to balance, that cash can provide a lot of peace of mind and also flexibility if you're going through life changes or thinking about making career changes, the cash can really be what you want. But I do think for people who have stable financial pictures, you do have to balance that against the fact that you're not earning much at all on your cash at this point.
Right. And we gave we had an article on creating ladders with cash to try and keep the cash up above taxes and inflation at least or break even.
Right, right. So, it's tough. It really is.
It is. It is.
But I do think, I agree with you that laddering can make a lot of sense.
Yeah, it helps. And there's some great tools out there to help people get a little bit higher rates than what's normally available. So that's been real good.
Right. And municipal money markets, too, for folks in higher tax brackets, I think, are another good option.
That right. And then there's some of these social lending.
Yes.
Sites that also have been to short term.
Yeah. And slightly higher yielding than
right.
prevailing yields at your local bank.
Right. Right. Good, good. So I'll definitely have to look into that tool. Are there any other calculator tools over there that you can recommend?
There are a lot. There's one for helping you choose which is the right type of IRA for you. We've got tools that let you compare the costs of two competing investments head-to-head. So just need to plug in the ticker name and the whether you're paying any sales charges to transact in that security. You can see, based on your holding period, which would be the most cost-effective for you. So that's another useful tool, and we've discussed how important costs are, but it can help you quantify what you actually would spend over the life of that investment. Our portfolio manager tool is a good tool for monitoring your portfolio on an ongoing basis, and you can also sign up for alerts. So if something important has happened at your holding, at your stock or at your fund, you can get an email alert letting you know what's going on with it. We also have tools that help you screen on stocks and mutual funds. So you can put in criteria that suit what you're looking for. So you could say, well, I'm looking for an intermediate term bond fund. I don't want to pay more than 0.75% per year. I want a manager with a 5-year tenure and so forth. And you can actually get the list of investments winnowed down to a very manageable group with just a few of those criteria. So that's another popular tool on the site.
Wow. I'll have to check that out. I'm already thinking of some classes I can do right around using some of these tools.
Oh, that'd be great.
Yeah, I think it would be. It would help introduce the tool and see the uses of it right in action.
Right, right.
Well, that'd be good. So this is great. So I'm going to summarize a little bit. We talked about the book and getting the financial planning process into little baby steps. So it's
right.
Manageable, getting some successes, just starting where you are, you know, just start here and move forward. We talked about indexing as a strategy. It's low cost, it's easy to do, to build the kind of portfolio that you can just set it and forget it. That's very important nowadays. And then we talked a little bit about coordinating with 401k plans and watching the fees and that. And then we also talked about some free tools that at Morningstar.com, especially the X-ray tool. That sounds fantastic. I'm definitely going to take a look at that one. So this has been great, great information. And I want to thank you so much for spending time with us. And I want to let everybody know that Christine's book, The 30-Minute Money Solutions, A Step-by-Step Guide to Managing Your Finances, is available at my website, wholeheartedway.com. It's at major booksellers. It's also on the Morningstar.com website, so you can get it at all those places. She also has another book called Find the Right Mutual Funds. So if you have some trouble finding mutual funds, that's the book for you. That's also available on my website at www.wholeheartedway.com, at major booksellers, as well as Morningstar.com. And also on my website, you can get a free newsletter. It's around personal finance topics. You can sign up for that there. And all of you that registered for this call, I'll be sending you the audio file within a week. And Christine, again, I just want to thank you so much.
Well, Fern, thank you. It's been a lot of fun. I've enjoyed talking to you.
Thank you. If anyone, I'll open it up for questions. Does anyone have a question?
Hi, Fern. This is Therese.
Hi, Therese. How are you?
I'm well. And Christine, Fern has actually been a great guiding light, and during a very upside down few years. And I'm actually at a point where after having very, you know, slim months, my efforts are starting to pay off. And I'm wondering, in terms of, I haven't been allocating money in my 401k for the past few years, and I'm just starting again, and I'm wondering just about priorities. I have some debt on low-income credit cards, and I'm working on getting my savings in better shape. Do you think as well I should just start a smaller amount of money every month into the 401k plan?
I do think so, especially if you have your credit card debt at a really manageable interest rate. Typically, that's a red flag, and any assets you'd want to put toward that rather than anything else. But if you do have it at a nice low rate, I would start tiptoeing back into that 401k plan. I don't know if your employer does any sort of matching contributions. So if they match you on any of your own contributions, that would definitely be the place I would start. Make sure you're at least earning that match.
I'm self-employed.
Sorry?
I'm self-employed.
Okay, so you're doing an individual 401k?
Yes.
Okay. So in any case, I think it does make sense to start putting some money toward that plan, even if it feels like only a small sum, think if the market does a little bit of the heavy lifting, that'll help, and you'll see that you can earn a nice return on your money. So I think you can do both. I agree with you that it's always a challenge to kind of prioritize those competing financial goals, and typically for me, the debt pay down would come first, investing second. But I think if you feel like you have your debt under control, I would start investing for retirement as well if you can swing it.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else? Okay, it's 32 after the hour. Again, Christine, thank you so much. I really appreciate you spending time here, and I hope to talk to you again in the future.
Bye.
Goodbye.